on the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time now for Abandoned Manitoba, where we check in with Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Remind us of the clue from last week.
Well, listeners who are familiar with the more obscure characters on TV's Sesame Street may remember an elephant who operated an elevator. And because of his rather large size, there wasn't any room on the elevator for passengers. Well, this week, we are going to consider an elephant elevator of an entirely different kind, this one at Hamiota. And by the way, I need to give a big shout out to my friend Elliot Sims for alerting me to this story.
So where do we start?
Now, longtime listeners know about my obsession with grain elevators, and I bet they think that I've talked about every conceivable aspect of them in previous episodes of Abandoned Manitoba, but there's more. Our story this time starts in 1906, when a new Canadian company was formed called the Consolidated Mining and Smelting Company, later shortened to Cominco, and its objective was to mine lead, zinc, and other minerals. The byproducts, though, of its mines included things like sulfur dioxide and sulfuric acid, both of which have harmful effects on the environment if they're discharged without treatment. In 1931, then, as a pollution prevention measure at its large mine at Trail, British Columbia, Cominco began turning its wastes into a new product that it marketed under the name of Elephant Brand.
What kind of product was it?
Well, Elephant Brand was a synthetic fertilizer. That is, fertilizer that's made from chemicals rather than natural materials such as cow manure. One of the first, in fact, to be developed anywhere in the world. Now, I love stories about abandonment when they tell a big story. And in my view, the focus of today's tale tells a very big one. Well, to fully appreciate the significance of Elephant Brand, we have to remember that agriculture began in earnest on the Canadian prairies in the 1870s. And by the 1930s, barely 50 years later, it was becoming clear that the prairie soils would be exhausted of crop-bearing potential if something wasn't done to replenish and sustain them. Now, traditionally, farmers had used such methods as summer fallowing and spreading of animal manures to enhance soil fertility. They gained another method in 1931.
That was when farmers began using Elephant Brand fertilizer?
Well, a little bit, but not a lot, because poor economic conditions and drought during the Great Depression limited farmers' use of, you know, quite expensive fertilizer. But starting slowly in the 1940s and growing through the 1950s and 1960s, the use of synthetic fertilizers such as Elephant Brand literally skyrocketed. You know, it became a true revolution in agriculture, just as significant, I think, as the adoption of the tractor to replace horses. You know, today, additions of synthetic fertilizer are essential to sustain high crop yields. You know, and some kinds of fertilizer can be made using nitrogen gas, the most plentiful gas in Earth's atmosphere. But for such fertilizer ingredients as phosphorus, there is, in fact, a looming global shortage as readily accessible supplies are depleted.
And where does an elevator come into the story?
Well, in the 1960s, there was another major advance in fertilizer technology when the ability to make customized blends was developed. Basically, the idea was that they would do a soil test of a particular piece of land, and they wanted to then provide the nutrients that the soil needed and not the ones that it didn't, to customize the fertilizer to the needs of the soil. This is where the elevators come into our story, because in the mid-1960s, Cominco, in partnership with local business people, started building fertilizer elevators in towns across Western Canada, basically along the railway track near the grain elevators. So usually you got two together. You had grain elevators and you had fertilizer elevators. The fertilizer elevators were designed to custom blend fertilizer for each of their customers.
When were these elevators built?
Generally, these custom blending plants began to open in the mid-1960s. The one at Hamiota that I hinted about earlier was constructed in the summer of 1967. It had a storage capacity of 450 tons of fertilizer. To put that amount in perspective, at that time, Cominco was manufacturing over 1 million tons of Elephant Brand a year, which I think gives us an idea of just how massive the fertilizer industry had become by the 1960s.
And what did these fertilizer elevators look like?
Well, they're generally similar in appearance to a standard grain elevator. In fact, you might just confuse them as a grain elevator, but they were generally smaller. The Elephant Brand elevators had a fairly unique turquoise and white color scheme, and they were covered in vertical metal panels. On the outside, there was a big Elephant Brand corporate logo featuring the head of a pachyderm named Ernie.
Where were elephant elevators located in Manitoba?
Well, they were usually built in larger communities in the more agriculturally active parts of the province. So far, my research has turned up 13 elephant elevators in addition to the one at Hamiota. There were ones at Altona, Arburg, Brunkild, Carmen, McGregor, McTavish, Minto, Niverville, Oakville, Portage la Prairie, St. Anne, Souris, Waskada, and in Westburn.
And how many of them are left?
Well, as far as I've been able to determine, the elevator at Hamiota is the very last elephant elevator in Manitoba. Now, there are a few other company fertilizer elevators still standing. There is, for example, one that was built by United Grain Growers at Medora that is still standing. What's interesting about the one at Hamiota is that I couldn't find it at first because I was looking in the wrong place.
And why is that?
Well, I expected it to be along the railway line through Hamiota, but in 1998, it was moved to its present location on the south side of town. But it's clearly an Elephant Brand elevator. The head of Ernie the Elephant is still proudly displayed on its east-facing side. And in fact, I'm thankful to my friend Robert Beamish, who lives near Hamiota, for taking some recent photos of it for me.
And why are the fertilizer elevators disappearing?
Well, I think for the same reason that small grain elevators are disappearing, they're simply too small and are easily replaced by rows of large steel tanks. There are sometimes other reasons too. So, for example, I'm told that the Elephant Brand elevator at McGregor was demolished because the interior metal was disintegrating due to the corrosive effects of long-term exposure to fertilizer. The one at Hamiota apparently doesn't comply with modern workplace health and safety regulations, and frankly, the cost of retrofitting it is prohibitive. Meanwhile, though, the liberal use of synthetic fertilizers is now such an intrinsic part of modern agriculture, and there's almost no likelihood of it ever abating. So I think we're reminded of this transformation, this permanent change in the way we grow our foods compared to the old ways, by this last elephant elevator at Hamiota.
Well, hopefully it can remain standing. What's up for next week, Gordon?
Well, as sure as many listeners are aware, there have been numerous cases, most recently a professor at the University of Saskatchewan, that have involved someone falsely claiming Indigenous ancestry. Well, next week we're going to look at a disused building that is connected with another such case 90 years ago.
I look forward to it. Thanks so much for talking to me this morning, Gordon.
We'll talk again next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.